Good morning. Good morning. This is Pastor Roy Carter from the New Life Christian Fellowship Church. Just want to apologize for being a few minutes late. It seems we had trouble getting in this morning, but we're here. We thank God that we're here. We're grateful to be able to come to you this morning and just share with you a word from the Lord that it might help us to walk throughout this life, throughout this week, throughout this day. We're glad to see you. We're grateful to see you. We have never stopped loving you, although we can't meet in the sanctuary. We're from New Life Christian Fellowship, 1529 North Wisconsin Street, here in Racine, Wisconsin, 53402. Our telephone number, 262-417-7363. And while nobody is in the office on a regular basis, we still come to you that we might share, and we would love to hear from you. So feel free to reach out to us, send us a message. You can reach us at our new website, nlracine.org. Feel free to reach out to us. Share us with us your testimonies. Share with us your prayer requests. All of those things that will help us to continue to go forward. Your financial support is always appreciated. We love you. For those of you that have continued to send your tithe, your offerings, those of you to just reach out with what you might have, thank you. We want you to know that we appreciate you and we love you for sharing with us. Now, while I'm calming myself down, I got real nervous. When I attempted to come on and it would not allow me to, I got real nervous. And when I get nervous, it takes me a moment to just woosa. But while I'm woosahing, you remember, let's practice our practices that our health officials have given to us. We've got to continue to do these, people. The pandemic is not over. And here in our area, the numbers are still going up. And if we just do our part, if you don't feel the need to put a mask on and sanitize and practice social distancing, if you feel like you good, do it for somebody else. Do it for people like me that have some health challenges. Do it for grandma. Do it for the children that can't protect themselves. Just do it for somebody else if you don't see the need to do it for yourself. But let's just do it. How about that? If we just do it with God's help, we can get past this too. Now, I want to go to the Word of God on this morning because I come to know that the Word of God is life. It's what gives us the strength to go through. It's what encourages us. It's what motivates us. Sometimes it'll chastise us and rebuke us and get us together. But when we put it all together, God's Word is His love to us that will help us to share what He has for us. We often talk about the promises of God. And you know, God has made many promises to us, and the promises are always for our benefit. Understand that God's promises are always for our benefit. He promises us peace and joy and comfort and provisions of life and all of these things that I like to call the promised land that God provides for us. You know, if you read the story in the book of Numbers where God has gathered his people and told them to go and check out this place that he has provided for them, they had been living in a place of bondage and misery, and God sends them to go, and the description of that place is a land flowing with milk and honey. And I always kind of say in my way of putting this together, I say it's a place that it flows with the sustenance of life, the things that are necessary that we can have this good life. You know, this life that Jesus talked about in John 10 and 10, when he said, come that we might have life and have it more abundantly. But when it's all said and done, God has spoken. And many times we miss the promised land, the things of God. And I want to talk about that this morning because I don't want us to miss it. I don't want us to miss out on what God has for us. I don't want us to miss it. Neither does God. So let's go to the Word this morning and then we'll talk about a few things that will help us. All right. Numbers chapter 13. And it's a little long, so I'm going to skip some of it. Now, the parts that I'm going to skip is a list of names. And you feel free to go and look at the names later, but I'm going to skip that part. But listen. Numbers chapter 13, beginning at verse number 1. The Lord said to Moses, send some men to explore the land of Canaan, which I am giving to the Israelites. From each ancestral tribe, send one of its leaders. So at the Lord's command, Moses sent them out from the desert of Paran. All of them were leaders of the Israelites. And now let's go down to verse number 17. When Moses sent them to explore Canaan, he said, go up through the Negev and into the hill country. See what the land is like, whether the people who live there are strong or weak, few or many. What kind of land do they live in? Is it good or bad? What kind of towns do they live in? Are they unwalled or fortified? How is the soil? Is it fertile or poor? Are there trees in it or not? Do your best to bring some of the fruit of the land. It was the season for the first ripe grapes. So they went up and explored the land from the desert of Zin as far as Rehob toward Lebo Hamath. They went up through the Negev and came to Hebron, where Ahumiah, Shechem, and Talmai, the descendants of Anak, lived. Hebron was built 7 years before Zoan in Egypt. When they reached the valley of Eshcol, they cut off a branch bearing a single cluster of grapes. Two of them carried it on a pole between them, along with some pomegranates and figs. Let's go down to verse number 26. They came back to Moses and Aaron and the whole Israelite community at Kadesh in the desert of Paran. There they reported to them and the whole assembly and showed them the fruit of the land. They gave to Moses this account. We went to the land which you sent us, and it does flow with milk and honey. Here is its fruit. But the people who live there are powerful, and the cities are fortified and very large. We saw descendants of Anak there. The Amalekites live in the Negev, the Hittites, the Jebusites, the Amorites live in the hill country, and the Canaanites live near the sea along the Jordan. Then Caleb silenced the people before Moses and said, we should go up and take possession of the land, for we certainly can do it. But the men who had gone up with him said, we cannot attack these people. They are stronger than we are. They spread the report amongst the Israelites. Let me start over again. And they spread among the Israelites a bad report about the land they had explored. They said, the land we explored devours those living in it. All the people we saw there are a great size. We saw there the Nephilim there, the descendants of Anak, came from the Nephilim. We seem like grasshoppers in our own eyes, and we look the same to them. That night, all the members of the community raised their voices and wept aloud. All the Israelites grumbled against Moses and Aaron, and the whole assembly said to them, if only we had died in Egypt or in this wilderness. Why is the Lord bringing us to this land only to let us fall by the sword? Our wives and children will be taken as plunder. Wouldn't it be better for us to go back to Egypt? And they said to each other, we should choose a leader and go back to Egypt. Then Moses and Aaron fell face down in front of the whole Israelite assembly, gathered there Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, who were among those who had explored the land, tore their clothes. Now, just want to explore this for a bit. You know, as believers, I'm talking to believers, those who accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior, and we are walking and talking with God daily. Faith is an absolutely important and necessary feature to have a walk with God. Faith is having confidence in God and thereby having confidence in what God says. It's believing God and believing what God says. You know the verse in Hebrews chapter 1 where it says faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. You know, many times we say, oh, I believe God. I believe him. But I not only got to believe that he is, but I got to believe what he says. Because he is that powerful. And remember, when he speaks, stuff happens. When just because he said it, it has to happen. Go back to creation. Go back to Genesis chapter 1. When he is creating the world, and the Bible clearly states that there's nothing there. It ain't nothing but darkness. And God begins to speak. Let there be. Let there be. Let there be light. And there was light. Let the water separate from the dry ground. And it happens. God speaks and things happen simply because our Almighty God speaks. But it takes faith to have the confidence in what God says. Now, follow me with this. Follow me with this. Here God is, and he speaks to Moses, the leader of his people. And he says, get some people together and go over there and explore the land that I'm going to give you, the land that I prepared for you, the land that will have everything that you need in it. Go over and explore it. This place that is a place of fulfillment of everything that I've said, the peace and the joy and the provisions of life and the love. And, you know, it just goes on and on and on with this list. And God says, go and do this. And then Moses gives the order, gets the people together, and they go and do as God has commanded. But, you know, I always like to say, when you put a but in something, when there is that but there, it changes what has previously happened. So God says, go over there and explore this land. Go check it out so you can go and inhabit it. So the people go and they check it out. And I'm always amazed at the description of how fertile and vibrant this land is. That Moses says, if you can bring back a sample of what's growing over there. Because it was growing season. So bring back something. Let us see what's going on. And the scripture makes mention that they bring a cluster of grapes. And you know what a cluster is. Now in our day and age, a cluster of grapes, you can get them in one hand. This cluster of grapes was so big that they put a pole through it. And it took two men to carry it. That's how big the blessings of God was for the people. That's how big. It's just a sample. They come back and they bring the report. Now it's time to get a report. Tell us what you saw. And all the people are gathered and no doubt they're excited about it. You know, we get excited just hearing about what God has for us. And in the report, there are some things that happen that cause them to miss the promised land. The first thing that I want to talk about this morning is we can miss out on what God has promised for us when we focus on the obstacles rather than on the object. And then as a result, fear tends to creep in and overshadow our faith. Moses told him to go. God told Moses, and Moses repeated what God said and sent them over there. That they might check it out. Moses said, go up. See what the land is like. See what the people that are living there, whether they're strong or they're weak, whether they're few or they're men, whether it's a whole bunch of them or just a little bit. Go and see what the land is like. Is it fertile and green and lush, or is it barren and dry? See if there's trees and stuff growing there. And just go check it out. The object was, go over there and get all the information you can so we can form a strategy and go and possess what God has for us. Instead, they went and examined, and they came back, not with the focus on what God had for them, but they focused on all of the obstacles that were present that they saw. Notice God didn't mention nothing about no obstacles. And I think about this sometimes to discover that what we see as obstacles, we people, we see things as obstacles in our lives that prevent us from receiving what God has for us. But obstacles ain't no issue to God. They're no issue to God to the place where he don't even talk about them. God didn't even mention them. Because they were unimportant. Remember, we're talking about walking by faith and receiving what God has for us. Then our focus cannot be on the obstacles that come in our path. The obstacles that we see from our natural eye and our point of view, they are of no consequence to God. We got to keep our spiritual eye focused on what God has said. When we stop using our spiritual sight, we stop seeing things from God's point of view, and we see it from a natural human point of view. When we look at things through the eyes of faith, then we're able to walk by faith and not by sight. There's a story that Jesus told, that's told in the scripture about Jesus. Remember when Jesus is on the boat with his disciples? Well, he's not on the boat, but the disciples are on the boat in Matthew chapter 14. And a storm brews up. And Jesus is coming, and the disciples look up, and they finally discover that this is Jesus walking on the water. And Peter, one of Jesus' disciples, says, "Lord Jesus, let me come walk to you." And Jesus said, "Come on." Jesus just simply said, "Come on." The water was flailing about. The winds were mighty. But Jesus simply said, "Come on." Now, go back and read the story if you want to. In Matthew chapter 14, Peter gets out of the boat, and the scripture makes mention that as long as he keeps his eyes focused on the Savior, he walks toward Jesus. As long as he keeps his eyes on the Savior. But the minute he takes his eyes off of Jesus and then begins to notice the wind and the waves and fear sets in, the scripture says he immediately began to sink. He took his eyes off of Jesus and he begins to sink. And then Jesus reaches out and saves him. But Jesus asks him this question and said, "Why did you start doubting? What was it that called you to start down? You was doing it." And all at once you began to sink because you took your eyes off of what enabled you to come to the Lord. We don't want to miss out on the promises of God because we're focusing on the obstacles rather than what God has promised us. Yeah, there's obstacles there, but you got to remember these obstacles are no issue to the Lord. They're no thing to him. And so if they're no thing to him, but he's given the word to go and possess, he then will enable that possession to take place. We can never reach the blessings that God has for us if we focus on the obstacles rather than what God has said. We'll miss out on the promised land, the things of God, when we start comparing ourselves to others, because this comparing to others leads us to intimidation and it helps us to miss out on what God has for us. These people go over and they check out the land, and what they notice in the midst of the land, yeah, there's people there, but they notice the size of the people. The people, there were giants. There were giants over there. Once again, giants ain't no big deal to God. Giants don't matter to God. Giants are no thing that God is scared of. Yeah, we might be. We might see the obstacles. We might see other people that are doing this, that, and the other. They may seem to have more than we have. They might even have more than we have. But that's no obstacle to God. You got to allow God. You got to see yourself the way God sees yourself. God told him to go over there and possess this land. Go check it out so you can go possess it. Immediately, they started comparing themselves to the people that are there. When we compare ourselves to others, we often see ourselves like they did. They saw themselves as grasshoppers. And check out what the word says. They didn't only see themselves as grasshoppers. They decided that other people saw them as grasshoppers too. How you know what other people think about you? How do you know what other people feel about you? And a lot of times, this is what I mean when I talk about an intimidation comes in. The intimidation is on our part. Because we've decided what other people feel and think about us. That's of no issue. That should be of no consequence. I'm going as God leads. And if God leads me against something that's greater than me, guess what? It's never greater than him. So I can't let myself become intimidated in the choice to compare myself to other people. And here they was. God was their God. But they hear this report, and the word said they cried all night. Their people acted a fool all night. Acted a fool to the place where they complained and start murmuring and decided it would be better to go back to the misery that God has brought us out of. It would be better to go back and be slaves than to walk into the freedom that God has provided. Because we compare ourselves to others and then are intimidated in that. Wrong focus and bad personal comparisons can lead us to a fear that will weaken our courage and weaken our trust in the Lord to see us through. And this will cause us to miss what God has promised for us. Fear sets in. Believers today often give up, lose heart, become faint-hearted, and fear rather than remember who it is that gave the order. Who it is that called you to live the life that he's called you to live. Who it is that said he'll go with you. Who it is that said I'll put angels in front of you and back of you and on the sides of you. We forget that. And as a result of our forgetting it, we miss out on what God has promised us. It amazes me at the number of believers that walk around in fear and as a result have no peace. See, because he promised us a peace that we could have that not only does the world not understand, it's a peace that surpasses all understanding. And we miss it because of the fear that sets in. And this causes us to give up. It should be never. We should never be quick to retreat. We should never be quick to just lay it down and say, oh, well, forget it. If God called you to it, you know, we real quick to want to talk about if God said it, that settles it. What happens when God says it and that settles it, but it didn't happen in the time that we thought it should happen? And so as a result, we start looking around and start fearing. No, if God said it's going to happen, it's going to happen, it's going to come through, and I just got to stay true and loyal to God, go check it out as God said, and then prepare myself for war. And here, the scripture says, out of all those people, it was Joshua and Caleb that said, we can go do this. God's with us. We can do it. Too many times people of God fail to remember that if God is with me, who can be against me? In other words, who got the strength? Who got the power? Who got the ammunition? Who got the thought? Who has the ability to come against God and I? There ain't nothing that's going to come my way that me and God can't handle. What I can't do with my little limited abilities, God got it. But I got to know that, and I got to live accordingly. Yeah, it might be overwhelming for me. Yeah, it might look giantess. I'm making up a word here. It might look gigantic in my viewpoint. It might seem all of those things, and it might really be. But if God is with me, He's greater than everything that comes my way. I may struggle today. I may have a difficult time getting through this moment. I may have a difficult time in my now. But if God has said it, I got to hang my head on that and not be refocused on anything else. I got to see what God has for me and don't miss it. I don't want to miss it. Missing out on what God has promised for me, missing out on this promised land, it can be the result of seeking instant gratification. I want what I want, and I want it now. And if I don't get it right now, then, you know, we dismiss it. We decide that that really wasn't what God had for us. In God's own timing. I love when reading through the Bible, in many places, it will say, the old King James Version said, in the fullness of time, when the time was right, based on how God saw it to be. Sometimes we pray and we want God to move on our behalf right now. And God is saying, no, I want you to go through some stuff. Because when you go through the stuff, it's going to make you stronger. It's going to make you tougher. It's going to give you a stick-to-itiveness like you can't even imagine. It's going to enable you to experience some things that you might then turn around and help somebody else going through the bad that you're experiencing right now when I bring you out. But we miss out on it. Because we want the instant gratification. And if we don't get it, I'm out. If we don't get it, I'm done. No, if God said it, I gotta believe it. And by faith, I'm going to hold on until it comes. I'm going to wait for it. Because God said it shall be. There's no limit to where we can go when we do it as God says do it, and don't faint along the way. Don't get weary along the way. These people upset God so bad by their actions of not going forward with what He says. He was like, I'm done. That's it, I'm just done. You don't want God to say of you, I'm done. I'm just through. You know, sometimes we can aggravate other people. Imagine your actions aggravating God. Is that really what you want to do? Do you really want to aggravate God in your actions, in your dismissing of what He has said to you, in your just retreating back from where He has called you to go? Yeah, it might be difficult, but so what? God is with me. And so with me and God, we gonna knock this out in a few. I remember when I moved. I hate moving. I hate it. Like many of you all, I've helped whole lots of folks move in my day. When it was my turn to move, folk didn't show up. Folk, not only didn't they not show up, when I tried to call them, they didn't answer the phone. They didn't do none of that stuff. But some of my family members, they're always there. My sisters, my nieces, my nephew, they showed up. And I kind of breathed a little bit of sigh of relief because I'm like, oh, it's going to be all right now. Because at first, all I'm thinking is I got to do all of this by myself. Those of y'all that know me, I got breathing problems. This going to take me forever in 2 days. And what did I feel like doing sitting in the corner and start rocking and crying? You know how you know what I'm talking about. I just want to just sit there and just rock and cry because it just seemed hopeless. But my sister that wanted to live in Atlanta, she flew in early so she could get, she like, come on here, I'm gonna help you get this stuff together. And went to getting some boxes and went to throwing that stuff together. And the rest of them from here in town showed up and they was grabbing them boxes two and three at a time and throwing them in the van. And when I was tired and I said, we'll go back and do this tomorrow. My one sister here, she said, no, we can go back and get it. We got it. We got you. We got you. And they had me. And they didn't stop till we got done. That's how you want a few things with God. You can get tired. You can it can seem like you can't handle it. It's bigger than what you think. You want to sit and rock and cry. I dare you to put your trust in the Lord. And to put my trust in him, I can't just talk about it. I got to be active. And then watch God do. You keep reading in Numbers. Go over to chapter 32. It says, and go down number, verse number 11. Because they have not followed me. This is God talking wholeheartedly. Not one of those who were 20 years old or more when they came out of Egypt will see the land I promised on an oath to Isaac, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. No one except Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, and Joshua, the son of Nun. For they followed the Lord wholeheartedly. The Lord's anger burned against Israel, and he made them wander in the wilderness 40 years until the whole generation of those who had done evil in his sight were gone. You don't want God to be upset because you're not following through, living the life that he's called you to live. God didn't put those promises out there. He didn't dangle stuff in front of you like a carrot with a horse just to make you feel good. He wants us to have this kind of life. He wants us. He loves to love his children. I got when the baby come over here, he can't do no wrong. Well, now, we gonna stop him on some stuff. He get to throw a ball around in the house. He get to eat whatever he want to eat. He gets to do all of those things. And I love it. God loves us like we love the little children. But many times we miss out. I don't want you to miss out. I don't want you to miss out. Be like Joshua and Caleb. They followed the Lord wholeheartedly. And as a result, they were able to enter in to the land that God has promised them. I want you to be able to enter in. I want you to be able to share the joy that God. We're living in a world right now in our country. Things are in chaos. Things are in turmoil. It's ugly. It's crazy. The racism, the hatred that's being spewed about by people that should do better. But in the middle of everything, we can live in the peace and comfort that God has provided for us. If we will only not get this misfocused. I don't know if I'm making up another word or not. Don't get disfocused. Stay focused on what God has done. And know that if God has called us to overcome, we will. It might not happen today, it might not happen tomorrow, but it's going to happen because God said that it would. Don't look at the obstacles. Instead, keep your eyes on God who is able to overcome every obstacle. Don't listen and grab the wrong report, but instead believe the report of the Lord. Let's pray. God, thank you today. Thank you for your goodness and your mercy and your loving kindness. Thank you, God, for all that you are and all that you share with us, your people. Thank you for loving us. You don't just love us in word. You show us that you love us. Your word says that you loved us so that you sent your only begotten son that he might die on Calvary's cross, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Father, thank you for your love. Thank you for your mercies that you provide for us each day, that we can make it through today. Some days, God, and I know you already know, but some days we wake up and it seems like just a lost cause. It seems overwhelming. The burdens that we may have to bear, the burdens, the trials that we go through. But if we can just remain faithful with you, you've given us what we need to get through today's journey. Father, forgive us for any sin that we've committed, any place that we have failed you. Wash us clean and make us whole. And help us to forgive ourselves that we can move forward in you. Bless those that are bereaved, those whose hearts are heavy and laden because of the death of a loved one. Help them to realize that death is not the end. And if that person has lived their life for the Lord, accepted him as the Lord and Savior, in God's paradise, they reside. Father, we need you to bless our political climate. All of those that are in office, let them do what is best by the people. God, you placed them there. You've allowed them to be there. We just want your hand to bless. Move according to your will and your wisdom. We don't understand why things go the way they go, but we trust you. And we know that you will look out for us. Father, just have your way in all things, and we will continue to give you the glory in Jesus' name. Now, some of you may not know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. It's real easy. All it takes is admitting that I mess up, I fail, I sin. No matter how hard I try, I sin. But God has sent us a Savior in his son Jesus, who is perfect. In him there is no sin. And in his perfection, he was offered up as a perfect sacrifice for us. He died on Calvary's cross, taking on our sins. And then on that third day morning, rose again, ascended back into heaven with all power in his hand. And he's willing to live in us, to lead us, to guide us. So all it takes from us is the admittance that we can't do it by ourselves, that we're sinful and that we need his help. And then in admitting that, we receive him, repent of our sins. To repent means just to be sorry for them and then do something else. Accept him into our lives, let him in, and then follow his leading, follow his guiding. As he turns us from doing what's wrong, turn and do what's right. As he stops us sometimes from saying the wrong thing, as he stops us from lying, then stop. To have Jesus as our Lord and Savior is no difficult thing. It just has to be a willful thing. So just will it. Just desire it. And then allow the action of God to take place. Today we want you to know that we love you. We love you with the love of the Lord. We look out for your victory in him. So today, live in that victory. Don't miss out on what God has for you. Don't miss it. If you miss it, where do you go? To the life of misery that many of us walk in, instead of the peace, the joy, the comfort, the provisions that God has provided. Today, you be blessed. Share the love of Jesus with somebody else. Do you really know? Do you know that love will conquer hate? Love will conquer it. So share the love of Jesus. Be blessed today. We love you.